Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you from an unseasonably cold Vancouver winter, but an incredibly beautiful bright blue sky today, so I can hardly complain. Also can't complain given that I have the great opportunity this morning to speak with Joost Vandenberg, who is working in internal medicine and nearing completion of his doctoral studies at the Academic Medical Center, University of Amsterdam, where he works for Center for Evidence-Based Education and is also part of the Professional Performance Research Group. Joost, you have a paper coming out in the March 2017 issue of Medical Education called "Is Being a Medical Educator a Lonely Business? The Essence of Social Support." First and foremost, thanks for taking the time out of your evening after a long clinic day to chat with me.
Yes, hello. Thank you for this introduction. I'm happy to talk about this article, yes.
Yeah, I was intrigued and looking forward to the opportunity to talk to you, in part because, as you know, and as all of our listeners will know, most of the research that we see in our field is about the trainees and trying to determine what we can do best by them for the sake of enabling better patient care and all the other things that come along with that. But you've chosen to turn the research focus backwards in many ways, looking at the educators themselves and some of the challenges and struggles that they face in carrying out their work. Can you tell our listeners to start why you thought this was important to add into our literature?
I think ultimately it will still be about the trainees, because I think the trainees deserve educators who do their best and who feel their best. I think that would be part of the answer to your question, because I genuinely care about the educators themselves as well. What I feel is that physicians especially, but anyone at any university, works hard and tries hard enough to do their best, and they deserve to be supported in that work. And for that, we need to better understand how to do so.
And so why social support? Why was that the focal context for you in trying to imagine how to care for those educators to enable them to care for their trainees?
The background of that particular topic is both scientific as well as practical. When I started reading about well-being, about work engagement, social support as a concept kept popping up and was usually defined as simply, does one feel supported, without truly going in depth about what it means to be supported and how should I paint a picture about feeling supported. And for me, that was intriguing to try and see if I could understand what was meant by that simple question, do I feel supported? And the practical side of it is, I think what we're all familiar with is that sometimes it's just better to do it as a team or to work with others. And it's recognizable for many physicians, they may not always feel supported in their educational work, and they may feel lonely, and I think that is what inspired the title as well. So yeah, that's why I want to focus on social support and how we help each other and how physicians and basic scientists feel helped by their peers.
Well, and given that this is a construct that you're adopting from other places and something that has been seen elsewhere to be an important determinant of work engagement and higher performance, I'm curious as to what expectations you might have had based on what you've seen about social support in other areas.
Yeah, I had expectations that there would be a lack of it as well, that participants would talk about a lack of social support. And what intrigued me is that they hardly did. I mean, they would mention moments of not feeling supported, but they would freely talk about all the moments they did feel supported. And I think one of the major assumptions that was cast aside during the interviews was how positively surprised the participants were with their own situation. So I think that's one of the most interesting things that came up for me personally. Well, there are a few other assumptions as well, of course, but I really didn't have a picture of what people would say to me about what it meant to be supported. So no assumptions there.
Okay. So I want to delve a little bit more deeply into that, but before I do, I should probably ask you to fill in some of the details for our listeners in terms of what you did to try to gather information about this issue. You've already alluded to having conducted interviews with a group of medical educators, but specifically I know you used the PICTOR technique. I wonder if you can tell our listeners what that means.
It means that you, as an interviewer, help your participants visualize their social network. And the social network can be whatever you want it to be for your research question. And it was developed in healthcare and to study collaborative working in healthcare. Well, it was not developed specifically for that, but that's how I came to know about it. And what I want to, again, I will use the word visualize or to paint a picture. What I wanted to see was the social network of participants, specifically in regards to their educational work. In essence, it's very simple. You provide the participants with arrow-shaped post-its, sticky notes, preferably in different colors. You give them a pen. And all you ask them is to paint a picture to visualize that people they work with, they feel supported by or unsupported by in their educational work. Of course, it's a bit more complicated than that, but I think that this itself, again, paints a picture.
And so then do you talk to them as they're doing that, or do you give them time to paint their picture and then just treat it as a stimulus for further conversation?
Especially the last part, but I did stay in a room when they were doing the exercise to say so. When they were making the picture chart, especially because people tend to think out loud and it's especially informative to be around when they do so, as well as I was there to answer any questions they had. But I try to just sit back and observe and then use it as a starting point. It's also a bit of a reflective process for the participant.
Mm-hmm. And so when you got them talking about the support that they felt, where did that support tend to come from when it was perceived as working effectively?
I think without stating any percentages or something, the most talked about supportive source was a head of department. Participants would talk about that in very different ways, but that person would usually come back in any interview we conducted. And I think the most exciting or the most interesting sources were the ones that didn't pop up in every interview. Someone mentioned their sporting team because the shared interest in educating people within the team helped them to be an educator and feel supported and justified for being an educator. And I think the main message I would like to send out is that if you take a look at it the way we did, then you will find supportive sources in all kinds of areas of work and throughout an hospital, throughout a university that can be found as long as there's a shared interest in the educational topic at hand. And both I and the participants were usually very surprised by the breadth of support available.
And were those types of supports that people valued things that are resource intensive? I'm thinking now about imagining the people who are providing the support or the types of supports that people talked about as being particularly valuable, things that require anything other than being there for the person.
I think it's interesting you use the word require there because I'm thinking out loud now that if any of my participants really talked about requiring anything, on the other hand, I wouldn't say they would describe support as a luxury to say so. Mm-hmm. So I think that if we look at my study or our study, I should say, of course, then people would require support, but the type of support they would require very much depended on the situation at hand. And sometimes a lack of support was distressing in itself, especially when it was about feeling encouraged or feeling determined to move on with an idea or with a project. And it sort of was like a luxury instead of a requirement, just feel to be given a final push towards a goal. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. I guess what I'm wondering still is imagining somebody trying to use your research for the sake of improving upon the situation of their medical educators. What recommendations would you have based on what you learned from your participants?
The recommendation I have, I think, would not be to try too hard to provide support, whether you're the head of a department, whether you're just one of many educators at your institution. I think the most important message I could send in this podcast is that people need to be able to find each other if we are talking about social support. And of course, there are many other supportive systems that could be created, mentoring or peer support. I mean, those are very valuable in their own way. But when we talk about the topic we studied, I think it's much more important to connect people with a shared interest rather than to try and force support on them. Because we did find some detrimental effects of support as well, as paradoxical as it may sound. When preparing for the study, I already read that providing support when it was not asked, it could evoke a sense of feeling one's autonomy restricted or limiting what one's self-esteem, because when someone feels they are doing well and someone else then supports them to say so, they may feel that they are incompetent or restricted in how they work. And one of the participants talked about how at one point instructions and guidelines were so very helpful to get started in a new role that she really felt that people who provided her those guidelines and who helped her were supportive. But as she progressed in that role and became more experienced, those guidelines were far more a restrictive thing. And when some of the people would try to enforce those guidelines and those protocols, then, well, what once was support became a nuisance, to say so.
So another example of it being possible for there to be too much of a good thing.
Indeed, yes, indeed. Yeah.
So let me wrap up this conversation by bringing you right back to your title. Your subtitle, anyway, is The Essence of Social Support. What would you, based on your findings, define as the essence of social support? And do you have a conclusion to the question that you begin your paper with of whether or not being a medical educator is a lonely business?
To start with, is it a lonely business? I think it's not, or at least it doesn't have to be, as long as the opportunity is created for like-minded people to find each other. And I think the essence of social support, as I described, threefold. And while it may depend on the situation at hand, I think it's about being comforted when it's necessary, being encouraged when it's necessary. And what I think is most important for medical education as a field, mm-hmm. I think it's important that social support helps make it okay to be an educator. You don't have to be a physician or a researcher. The right type of support will evoke a feeling that being a medical educator is okay in itself and not just a crazy hobby or feeling like an outcast. But it's okay, you're an educator and you're valued for that and not for any other things you do.
Right. That seems like a common theme and a good reason for us as a field to continue coming together and connecting both within and across institutions. So I think we can likely leave it at that, and we'll direct anybody listening who's interested in the details to your paper once more, just as a final reminder, it being called Is Being a Medical Educator a Lonely Business? The Essence of Social Support. And I've been speaking with Joost Vandenberg, the lead author on that work and soon to be PhD. Congratulations, Joost, on your progress, and I look forward to hearing that you've successfully made it through that training program, and hope to see more research from you very soon.
Thank you very much, and happy reading to readers.
Thanks.